And the one word that struck out, you know, well, all three of those words, strength, efficiency, and wholeness, struck out at me. But the one word that struck out more than anything else was wholeness. And you just look at people who live today, and they're just not whole. They're dealing with situations maybe from their past, or maybe they're dealing with situations in life that have affected them and have caused them not to be whole.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Good Looking Out. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Good Looking Out.
What in the world are you doing in a place where you're frustrated, aggravated, angry, upset, ready to go off? And load a bar, a place of spiritual barrenness. I don't want to move too quick from load a bar because, you see, you know, one thing I realized is that I remember when I graduated from college, and, you know, I had all kind of college bills, and, now when you graduate from college, what's the first thing that you want to do? You know, you want to buy you a ride, right? And so, I went out. And I bought a ride because when my wife and I got married, you know, we were college students, and we had this little brown car. I mean, this car, man, the Lord blessed. I think I paid $400 for this car, and it got us through college. I remember when we got married we had rented a car for us to drive in, and some brothers from the football team, they were in my wedding, and they drove this car. And there was all kind of problems wrong with this car. And every time that you turned, made a left turn, the horn would go, honk, 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 honk. So now, again, you know, the only brothers in the city that we lived in was on the football team. So you can imagine some brothers riding around in the car, turning the corner, and the horn blowing. So they called the police on the brothers at my wedding, man. And so the first thing I wanted to do when I became graduated was get a car. So I, you know, bought a car. So you go into debt, right? And then you begin to buy some other things. And the next thing I know, you know, college loans, a car, and all this stuff, I was in debt. And I remember the Lord had convicted me about being in debt. And I said, Lord, I want to get out of debt. And, you know, every time I tried, it seemed like a setback would come that would just put me further back. And for years, you know, I kept trying to get out of debt. And finally, the Lord spoke to my heart. And this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, Bill, I want you to stay here long enough so that you never forget what it's like, so that you learn the lesson while you're here, so that when you get out, that you will never want to come back again. And I think that sometimes, somebody hear me this morning, sometimes we want to get out of low debar too fast. Let me try that over here. They didn't hear me. They didn't hear me over here. Sometimes we want to get out of loaded bar too fast. And we get out and we don't learn. We don't know what it felt like to be in loaded bar. And God says, I want you to feel this. Because I want you to purpose in your heart and I want you to purpose in your mind that you are never coming back here again. Once again, we may have been crippled by something that put us in low debar. But we need to do everything that we can to realize what it was like. And when God brings us out, that we will say, Lord, by your grace and by your help, I don't want to come back to low debar again. Now, when God hooks a brother up, we see three things. When God looks out for you, number one, he anoints you by grace. That he anoints you by grace. Look at verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, is there any who is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And then look at verse 3. And the king said, is there yet not any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? You see, God wants to restore you. It's not God's will that you live the rest of your life in Lodabar. It's not God's will that you live the rest of your life in unfruitfulness and barrenness. You know, I was going back and meditating at the beginning of the year. You know, we asked people to write down what their goals are, and I still have them. I have them right on my desk, and I pray for them, and I pray for your goals that you wrote down. We said, I want this mountain. And I was thinking, now, how many people have given up on their goal? How many people have let the devil take away that mountain from them? But I came to tell you today that by God's grace, that here was Mephibosheth down in Lodabar, and by the grace of God, that David went down and David scooped him out and David restored him back to the place of his DNA. And God wants to restore you. But if he restores you, you gotta let him do it his way. Mephibosheth can't go. Now, David, look, I want this, 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 and this. You gotta let God do it his way. I was watching Tony Evans last night, and he gave this illustration about this German shepherd and this poodle. And he said that the German shepherd challenged the poodle to a contest. And he said, let's see who can open this door the fastest. And the German shepherd said, I won't go first. And so the German shepherd got up there on the doorknob. Three minutes. Making a bunch of motion. A bunch of noise. And after 3 minutes, he got it turned and opened. He said, okay, poodle, it's your turn. Closed it back. And he knew that the poodle wasn't going to be able to do it because the poodle couldn't even reach in the doorknob. And the poodle went over to the door and went, scratch, scratch. And the owner came and opened the door. You can do it your way. I'm mad. I'm bitter. I'm angry. Somebody did me wrong. You can do it your way, or you can and let God open the door. Let him open the door. He anoints by grace. God anoints by grace. He just says, look, he says, you know, because I love you, I'm going to restore you. But you gotta work with me. You know, you gotta do this thing my way. You gotta accept my grace in this situation. You gotta hold on to my hand. You gotta trust me. You gotta let me bring you out. And not try to come out on your own. So he anoints by grace. Look, I went back and I studied this. What did Mephibosheth do? This is powerful. You ought to write this down. This is not up there. You got to write this down. Lord just gave me this after I finished my PowerPoint. What did he do? First of all, he came when the king called. He came when the king called. You are in Lodabar. You are in a place of barrenness. You are in a place of fruitlessness. And God is calling. Are you going to come? Are you going to come, or are you just going to refuse to come and you're going to say, I'm staying here in Lodabar. I'm staying here in this place of no pasture. I'm staying in this place of fruitlessness. I'm staying in this place of dryness. Or when God calls, are you going? You know that you in low. You know you in low debar. You know that your life is dry and barren and desert and fruitless. You know, we got this thing on discipleship. Praise God, man. We had about 60 to 70 people come that weekend and get trained in discipleship. And we said that this year the focus is going to be on discipleship. And one of the things that the man pointed out, he said that if you don't have any disciples, then you're fruitless. Where are your disciples at? Who are you pouring your life into? And maybe the reason that you're pouring your life or not pouring your life into anybody is because you're crippled, you got baggage. How can I help somebody else when I'm dealing with all this? How can I be a blessing to somebody else? I got relationship baggage, I got emotional baggage, I got financial baggage, and I'm loaded down, and I can't help anybody, and I can't be fruitful because I'm carrying too much baggage. God said, when I call, just come. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll take it off of you. I'll take it off of you. I'll remove that baggage. But you got to come. You can't be trying to stay down there and load the bar. The second thing that I see about Mephibosheth is that he humbled himself. Look what it said in verse 8. And he bowed himself. And see, you know, let me stop right there. That's the problem. With too many people is that we are too proud and we are stiff-necked. And you know what? We would rather stay in loaded bar in our stinking pride than to humble ourselves. No, I can't, you know, I got too much pride. You know, I got my ego is at stake here. My reputation is at stake. You know, I'd rather stay here and load a bar than go and humble myself. I'd rather stay here and load a bar than to go bow myself down somewhere else. But look what this brother did. He bowed down and said, what is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I? There's a lot of views as to what he was saying. Somebody said he was expressing gratitude for what David told him. Somebody else said that he was showing the disparity in rank, that David was a king and that he was a peasant. And then somebody said, and I like this one right here, they said actually what was happening is he was saying, how can you want to show grace and mercy to somebody who has experienced such much misfortune in life? I've had so many bad things happen to me. Why would you, the king, want to show me kindness? And that might be your situation. You might be sitting here today, and you might say, God, you know what I've done. Why you want to show me kindness? And you want to argue God out of his grace. I remember my dad, that when he was sick, I was in Virginia, and the Lord burdened my heart to come back to Pittsburgh and talk to my dad about his salvation. And I came back, and I remember my dad, he had one of them in-home hospital beds. And I came in, and I started asking my dad about salvation. And I'll never forget what my dad said to me. My dad said, son, I've been doing this thing my way all my life. And now that I'm sick and in this bed, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, call him and call on him right now. And I said to myself, and I said to him, Dad, that's when God wants you. That's when he wants you. When you come to the end of your resources, when you can't do anything for yourself, I said, that's when God wants you. He humbled himself. And he said, what do you want with a dead dog such as I? You know, I'm a prostitute. What do you want with me? I'm a drug dealer. What do you want with me? I'm a drug user. What do you want with me? If you just humble yourself, God can take your life and he could turn it into something wonderful and something great. And the third thing that I see about Mephibosheth, not only did he come when the king called, not only did he humble himself, but you know what? He accepted God's offer, or he accepted the king's offer. He didn't try to argue David out of it. He just accepted it. He gave him that resistance about being a dead dog, but he just accepted the offer. And when God comes knocking at your door and God comes calling you, just accept the offer. Secondly, he anoints by grace, he allocates a space. Look what it said here. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore all the land of Saul thy father. Wow. He said, every piece of land that Saul had, I'm going to give back to you. And you know what? The devil has stolen a lot of stuff from y'all sitting here today. He has stolen years from your life because you've been sitting in Lodabar in bitterness. You've been sitting in Lodabar in anger. You've been sitting in Lodabar in frustration. You've been sitting in Lodabar in loneliness. And you're letting the devil just rob year after year after year. Just year. Year after year after year. Year after year in Lodabar. Just robbing, taking. But when you come to God and he anoints you by grace, then he provides the space. Whatever it is that Satan has taken from you, that you can get back. You might not get it back the same way, but you can get it back. Yeah, I heard a preacher saying one time that there was somebody that was in the race, and that when you're running the race, and if you start getting tired and you start messing up, you know, and then you get frustrated and discouraged, and you say what? Well, you know what? Let me go back and start over again. That's the worst thing to do. Because if you go back and start over again, guess what the other runners are doing? They're still running. You know what the advice is? That when you get in Lodabar and get frustrated, then just turn around and pick up the pace. Just pick up the pace. Just go back to what your Bible reading, your prayer, your worship, your loving God. Go back. And God will restore the space. And the final thing is that not only does he anoint by grace and allocate a place, but he appoints a place. What was the appointed place? Is that Mephibosheth got to sit at the king's table. All those years in Lodabar, I don't know, maybe begging. What did it say about Lazarus? That he desired the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. All those years begging. And now he's sitting at the king's table. Now, you know the other thing? One more thing and I'm done. Look at the very last verse. The very last verse. Now, it's an already said three times that the man was lame. Already said that three times. It said it in verse 7, verse 10, and verse 11. Why don't you leave it alone? Verse 13. And so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat regularly at the king's table, and again we hear it. And he was lame in both feet. Now, why just not say it one time and be done? Check this out. What did it say before this time? It said he sat at the king's table. Watch this. that I don't know how he got to the king's table. But once he got there, nobody knew he was lame. It's almost like the writer is reminding us that he's at the king's table. And unless you're looking on the table doing something you're not supposed to do, you wouldn't even know that he was lame. The grace of God. When you sit at the king's table, that God puts you there, and when you come to his table, nobody knows that you're lame. Now, I don't know, man. What if he got, why does the writer say this again? And why does he say that he came to the king's table and he was lame in both feet? Why does he say that again? Maybe because people stopped noticing that he was lame. Maybe whoever helped him there got him there before everybody came. And they just say, hey, there go Bo. He's all right here. He's right degrees down, man. He's ready to chow down, man. Yo, this is Bo right here, man. Fib. Yeah, Fib. Man. Fib is always the first one here. You know, we don't know why he's here, but, you know, the brother must be coming to get his eat on or something, man. You know, we don't know why he's here, but, you know, Fib is here. But maybe they forgot that the man was lame in both feet. And when God restores you, he puts you at the table, and you on the same ground as everybody else. I close with this illustration. Is that there was a man who had left home, and when he left home, he left on bad conditions with his parents. They were angry with him, and he was angry with them. And he left, and last words to him was cussing them out and telling them, calling them everything but a child of God. He went out and tried to strike off on his own. But as many young men and young people do, he ended up in Lodabar. He ended up in a place of barrenness. He ended up in a place of fruitlessness. He ended up in a place of dryness. And somewhere, much like the prodigal son, he came to his senses and he said, you know what, I'm out here languishing in Lodabar. I'm spinning my wheels in Lodabar. I'm getting nowhere in Lodabar. He said, I'm going to go back home. So he wrote this letter to his parents, and he apologized for what he had done and told them about his situation, and he said that if you don't want me to come back, he said, I'll understand. He said, I'm coming by on the 4:15 train. He said that as I come by the house, if I see a white handkerchief in my bedroom window, then I'll know that it's all right for me to come home. He was on the train, and as the train approached his home, he didn't want to look because he didn't want to be disappointed. He didn't want his parents to disappoint him by not putting that white flag in there. And so he asked somebody. He said, when we drive by this certain house, and he described it, he said, could you tell me if there's a white handkerchief in the window? And so they came upon that house, and he said, is there a white handkerchief there? And the man said, no, he said, there's no white handkerchief there. He said, there's just some lady out there with a sheet, with a picnic table, with a place set, and with an open door to a room. When you come back from Lodabar, God will restore you to the place of blessing and prosperity.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Finishing God's Work. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Good Looking Out, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Good Looking Out. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Good Looking Out, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus Ministries at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.